Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. It is the music room for free speech, where you can go and you can jam out. And some people get to hear you, but unfortunately, it's a little bit soundproof, and it would be nice if more people heard us. But you can help us take down some of this, what would you call it, soundproofing, so that more people hear us. If you donate to RBN, that will help us take down the soundproofing, and more people can hear us. That's what you want. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send a donation, and go to nationalbugle.com, where that is the home of the co-certified app. You can download that co-certified app or use it online, and you won't have to rely on Kabbalistic Orthodox Jewish rabbis to bless your food or just say that whatever. You won't be paying into all of that.
Yeah, or be forced to have a forced communion. Sorry.
A forced communion. You don't need that. You don't need that. So download the Co-Certified app, learn about the kosher question, and be one of the cool kids. Okay, so today we have Philbert Applebag with us, the noted musician and all-around swell guy. Welcome to the show.
Here I am. Thank you again for having me, sir. Really appreciate it. Well, and speaking of music, I have a lot that is on deck I've been working on. Like, when I joined a band, I had a lot I was working on, and it all got put on hold, and I really need to finish a lot of that. So I hope to be releasing some stuff soon, but I'll definitely let you all know.
We will look forward to it. All right, so we got there's a few things we can talk about. We got Joe Rogan, what's up with that dude? We've got Biden, did he really do a State of the Union? What's up with that? And also the Kabbalah. What's up with that? Where do you want to start first?
Oh, oy vey.
How about doing the Kabbalah thing?
Okay, well, yeah, just briefly, I noticed something. I've been trying to study Judaism somewhat on my spare time. And it's important to understand what they believe. It's very complex, and they are taught to also hide it from you and deceive you too. So if it wasn't just alone, or that they hid it alone, like they try to deceive you as well too. So it's very hard to understand this. But one thing I picked up, the pattern I recognize is their prophecies. You can look at almost like an algebraic or algebra equation. In the sense that their prophecy is almost like a goal, their answer that they will have. And then they will reverse that backwards to find what they need to equal that, say, in the Torah. They'll take a certain sentence in the Torah that means like, oh, this means that we are God's chosen people. And that's all I got. Just something I noticed. Algebra and Kabbalah.
Well, okay, so I think I have an idea of what you're talking about, and I think this type of thing goes on.
It's called gematria, right, or gematria, where it's like numerology inside of text and stuff.
So if you were looking, if you had a specific answer you're looking for, whether that is a numerical answer like 2021 or some sort of a phrase or something, and you have a book as big as, now they look not just at the Torah but the Talmud. Do they look at the Talmud for things or just Torah?
No, Kabbalah is the study of the Torah. And
I would think so, because right. I mean, the Talmud's just written by a bunch of rabbis, right?
You do but you do have to be well versed in the Talmud to study the Kabbalah from the Jews' perspective, though, too. So
it's pretty big. I often use the comparison for these PCR tests that they do looking for coronavirus. It's been pointed out, well, they haven't even isolated the coronavirus. They don't have, they haven't sequenced the genome. How could they
right.
be?
Right, exactly. Yes.
But what they're looking for is a little snippet. And what I often say is, well, imagine you're trying to find Bibles, but you don't have the whole Bible, but you know, you think the Ten Commandments is in there. And so you just look around for Ten Commandments. And every time you find a Ten Commandments, then you say, oh, well, here's a Bible. But of yeah. course, it could be a textbook. It could be all sorts of things that have the Ten Commandments in it that aren't Bibles.
Right? You know, speaking of the Ten Commandments, yes, is there any physical or hard evidence that Moses even existed? That's what I'm learning, like that he probably didn't even exist.
Right. I mean, so because in the – and I'm not necessarily the right person to ask about this, but – supposedly he would have been around what 1200 BC or something, 12th century or 13th century BC. The stories about Moses, they talk about Pharaoh, but they don't say which one. And I think a lot of scholars think it's Ramses II, which I believe would place him about 1200 BC, more or less. But yeah, it's not exactly clear, and unfortunately, they didn't have the Weather Channel back then, so we can't see when it was raining frogs.
Right.
Right? If the Weather Channel, they would have been on top of that, but...
Yeah, then shown the temperature in Newark.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people don't know this, but frog rain is, it's just a normal part of Egyptian weather. It's part of their climate. It was part of their climate before climate change. And then it went from frog rain to smog rain, but it's pretty close.
You know, that's a good point. I never thought of it that way. Good point.
Yeah. So whether he was, I mean, Jesus is attested to by relatively recent writers. The people who wrote the Gospels were if they were not people that knew Jesus personally, they were talking to people that, you know, Jesus was a living memory. And then, of course, you had Josephus, who, again, didn't attend any of Jesus's events personally. But, you know, he was a Jewish general in the Roman army who was in that area and said, yeah, people talk about Jesus. And it would have been... You know, 20 or 30 years after the events. Mm-hmm. So it's probably, I mean, it's most people would agree that about Jesus's historicity. And of course, Muhammad is even later than that. Muhammad's pretty well attested to. But Moses, I don't know. I mean, maybe there was some sort of legendary figure that was based on something. But who knows? How about Kim Il-sung? You know, the founder?
Yeah, I think he exists.
Founder of North Korea?
Yeah, or existed, right.
Exists, yeah. Supposedly born 1912. And when he took over, when he became the first leader of North Korea in 1948, he would have been 36 years old. So he's in his mid-30s. He was young. Kim Il-sung, there was legends. Kim Il-sung was a legendary resistance fighter. And so it may well be that the Kim Il-sung that founded North Korea was not born Kim Il-sung, but adopted that name in order to personify the legendary resistance fighter. Who knows? So things like that happen. Okay, so Kabbalah, and looking backwards, and we also have Nostradamus, right?
And the vice president, Kabbalah Harris.
Well, I call her chlamydia, but Kabbalah...
Yeah. I like that better, honestly.
It fits.
Yes, it's appropriate.
And you know this, the Elton John song, Island Girl, right?
No, I'm sorry, not off the top of my head. Be lying if I said yes.
It's about a Jamaican whore.
Okay.
She's a big girl. She sounds 6'3". Turning tricks for the dudes in the big city. Something like that. She Yeah, it's about a prostitute from Jamaica who comes to, I think, New York or Los Angeles, and is a prostitute, and Island Girl, what you doing in the white man's world? Island Girl, black man wants you in his island world. He wants to save you from the racket boss. He wants to save you, but the cause is lost. Island Girl, Island Girl, tell me what you wanted in the white man's world. So, and that's chlamydia. I mean, she's a whore, and she's at least half Jamaican. And what does she want with the white man's world? Because she clearly doesn't like it much, or at least she pretends not to.
Yeah. Yeah, I just cringe every time I even think about her. Her and I can't remember her name. The one that wears the hijab from the senator from Minnesota. Oh,
yeah, she's a congresswoman.
Omar.
Minnesota, yeah. A Viking. And on, Ilhan.
There's a few people everybody writes. They just cringe whenever they hear the name or picture them.
Yeah, but of course, I mean, at least Ilhan Omar does serve one purpose, because every now and then she crosses a line on what you're allowed to say about Israel. So
yes, that's true. And you know what? Well, I'll take we got to take it where we can get it. So it doesn't matter. I know these people are, you know, out to kill Whitey, but if they say something truthful, it doesn't mean it's not true, you know.
Yeah, but you know, you look at these women, whether it's chlamydia, whether it's Ilhan, whether it's Sandy Cortez, as Tucker likes to call her, or Rashida Tlaib. And okay, Sandy Cortez was a Puerto Rican and was, I guess, born in New York City, but certainly doesn't identify with the white people. And I would assume her parents were, even if Puerto Rico has been part of the United States, has been a commonwealth within the United States since the Spanish-American War, it's had a separate identity. And then, you know, Rashida Tlaib, okay, I think she was born in Michigan from recent Palestinian immigrant parents. But these are, we could call them, with an asterisk for AOC, you could call them post-65 people, right? I mean, they're post-65 people. They came here, or their parents came here due to the... I don't know, what do you call it? The magnanimousness, the generosity of white America. And, you know, in the case of chlamydia, both her parents were allowed to study at a good school. Was it Stanford? I mean, you can't complain about that, but she manages to complain about it anyway. And these people are, I mean, it's, I could not imagine immigrating to another country or being a first generation person in another country that had its own identity and especially coming from Stolia, right? From a Stolia country, if you know what I mean, right?
Yeah.
And then
coming in and try to boss people around.
Mm-hmm. It's unbecoming. And these are women. I don't know if it's certainly not just a woman thing. But why do we have all these women from these Stolia countries who are telling us how horrible we are? And then you got not just in Congress. What about the woman that is the main censor at Twitter? Do you remember that?
No, I'm not active on Twitter.
I'm not either. But
I don't know, though. I don't know who you're referring to, no.
This will segue into what the heck's going on with Joe Rogan. But so Jack Dorsey is the founder of Twitter, but he seems to be more interested in facial hair and nose rings than actually running his company. And I guess right? I mean, isn't he a stoner? I think he's a stoner.
I don't know. Yeah, the guy is just disgusting to even look at. Right. He's a grown, full grown man, and he's trying to dress and look like a freaking teenager. You know, it's just repugnant.
It is repugnant. And so he was invited onto Joe Rogan's podcast, right? And for those of you who don't know, Rogan is a medicine for baldness. And
yeah, Yeah, and speaking of him, Rogaine starts making excuses for him all the time. Like, he's like, oh, you know, he's a young guy. And like, no, I think he's like 44 years old, right? He's not like a young kid, like, learning the business. He's like, he knows exactly what he's doing. And it, even if he doesn't, like, he shouldn't be there, right? So, yeah, yeah, Rogaine makes excuses for him. But I didn't see the podcast. What did he say?
Okay, well, this was a year or more ago. And he invited on Dorsey to debate with Tim Pool. You know, Tim Pool, who is the boring guy who tries to be completely fair to everybody. And, you know, he's a hard worker. I'm not trying to cut down Tim Pool, but he's not Mr. Excitement because he tries to be so balanced and fair about everything. So Tim Pool came on advocating for free speech, and Dorsey came on unable to advocate for anything, but he brought with him this Indian-born woman. She was born in India and then came with her parents as a child to America, grew up in New Jersey or Massachusetts or somewhere. Oh, and I'm sure she suffered such oppression at the hands of white Americans. She was so oppressed that she wound up being, you know, the number two person at this massive company at age 30. I mean, talk about oppression. And so this Indian woman was saying, well, no, I mean, we have to have boundaries on free speech. We have to do this, we have to do that. And so we got these people from Stolia countries that are coming in, you know, they're pretty much at war with us and not letting, you know, I mean, this is our country. Why shouldn't we have free speech? Why does this woman from India get to determine who gets kicked off of Twitter, what gets to be said and what can't be said? But that's how it is. Young woman, right? She's like 30 or something, very young. And then, oh, one other. Do you remember, and this woman's not that bad, but do you remember Richard Nixon? And it was recently leaked that I think in a conversation with Kissinger, or maybe it was with Bob Halderman, he said, you know, the Indian women are the ugliest women on earth. Like, he said, even black women can be attractive, but Indian women, oh my God. He said this in advance of a meeting with Indira Gandhi. And he said something like, how on earth can they have such a high birth rate when their women are so ugly?
No, I didn't know he said that.
Well, and then there's some representative in Congress who in some ways is worse than AOC and them, and her name is Jayapal. I don't know. I call her PayPal, with something PayPal.
Sounds like PayPal. With a last name like that, you should be in like professional sports, right? It sounds like a commentator, you know, a broadcaster in professional sports would be like, you know, yelling your name for a touchdown or something like you shouldn't be in the, you know, holding
House of Representatives. Well, this woman is like, oh, it's so ugly. She's incredibly ugly. Jayapal. She represents.
There's that CNN commentator, Jamu. Is that black, big, fat, round black lady? I forget her first name. Is it, or maybe her first name is Jamu? It's like Jamu, and it's like she straight up looks like a Jamu. I'm like, her parents were right.
Okay, I don't know. I haven't seen that woman, but there's another woman who is. Oh, and this woman is Pramila Jayapal, and boy, oh boy, is she ugly. I mean, she is just like, oh well. Anyway, and I tell you one thing: if she was ugly, but she wasn't like such a bastard, I wouldn't care.
She got like severely beaten as a child, like with an ugly stick.
She got beaten with an ugly. She was born in Madras, okay, and immigrated to the United States at the age of 16 to attend college. Okay, so why does she have a chip on her shoulder? It makes no sense. And there was one other person I was going to talk about. Where are we? Oh, but we're at the break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
And we're back. I was going to talk about somebody else. I can't remember. But, you know, there are these other aggressive Indians. Obviously, Nikki Haley is an aggressive Indian. Oh, and chlamydia is half Indian. The guy that the Jews who founded Google, they've hired some Indian to be the face of Google. So you got a bunch of Indians, and more so than Chinese. You know, I mean, how many really high profile Chinese are there in the United States? And I'm sure there's more Chinese than Indians. Well,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's, we'll get back to Joe Rogan, but what about Wi-Fi?
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I was, I've been researching this new generation of Wi-Fi, and it's referred to as the IEEE, so IEEE 802.1BF. Right now, we just have IEEE 801. So, or I'm sorry, 802. So, this next generation of Wi-Fi, which is slated to be rolled out in 2024, roughly, could be sooner, it's going to be able to, your modem and everything that you connect to, and your WAPs, your wireless access points, will be able to, they'll almost be like motion sensors. They'll be able to pick up movement and activity. And it's called Sense. And it's to leverage channel state information. And it can track you. It'll map. It'll be able to map out your room that your modem is into, mm-hmm. is inside of. So this is very scary, and a lot of people.
Like, in effect, is it kind of like a radar thing? Which, because like radar is very long wavelength, radio waves that can map.
No, I don't think so. I guess the way it aggregates the data, probably in a sense, but so when you're in a room and your cell phone is in your pocket and you're moving around, if you're moving around certain things, like if you have a table in the middle of the room and you're constantly moving around, to walk around, it'll be able to save that. And, it'll be able to know how far away you are from the modem. So it'll be able to measure and save all this. And, with the current technology and the rapid growth of how data is collected and utilized, it's scary to think about all this. And that's basically what this is. It's aggregating all the data that is physically possible, and it's using it to map out like your house, basically. It'll be able to map out your entire house if you have your phone in your pocket, or when you walk around in your house, it's in your busy being a human. So it's scary, and this isn't being talked about by anybody. I came across this, and this is down the pipe, and I don't just do wired internet. Don't do Wi-Fi if possible. If you have a cell phone, go off of mobile data. Whenever this next generation of Wi-Fi comes out, this is very scary. I will send you a link, and you should put it in the show notes if anybody else is interested in reading it far better than I could describe it,
Hey, have you ever heard of smart meters for electricity?
Yes. I've researched those extensively, and I know so much about those. Those are scary for their own right, too, and it's not due to the fact that they cause cancer or anything. I've done much, much research on that, and the people came up with that idea because it sends out a 3G signal and it can't be turned off. So, and that is a problem. So hypothetically, if you have a smart meter right next to where you sleep, or in your house, say if your bedroom is close to where your smart meter is installed, like you don't have the option of turning off that 3G meter. I'm sorry, it's a 3G signal that it sends to your utility company. You don't have the option of turning it off. That's where people's concern about that come from. But it doesn't cause cancer. However, I have learned how to hack into those. I know how to, I'll just say, or of course, hacking is illegal. You have to own one first. I don't hack. But you can experiment on them. If you have an optical cable, a special optical cable, you can, there's open source software that you run with Linux that can, You can do all kinds of fun stuff with smart meters. Yeah, you're right. You should stay away from those too.
Which, if you have the choice, because I think some utilities are enforcing them on.
That's
people.
True. I'm really disappointed that states didn't come in and say that that's not right, that you can force somebody to do this. So in my area, we were able to choose whether we're able to. Get one or not, and they told us in the future they may have to charge us for somebody to come out and read the meter, and I'm okay with that. I'd rather have that than a smart meter, a digital meter.
But and the smart meters, they're smart because ultimately they could be programmed to turn off certain of your appliances, so you couldn't use your washing machine in the middle of the day.
Yes, and they can also log how much water you're using and how much. So if you have a smart device like a smart TV, it's going to communicate with a digital meter, a smart meter, and so it will know. They'll be able to communicate. It'll be able to send a fingerprint ping. It'll be able to know what kind of TV it is, and you can bet, that all this data is being sent to probably Google and Amazon and whoever wants to buy it, for the highest dollar.
All right. Well, we're at the break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7 herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
And we are back, and we are talking about smart meters, which there's a lot of issues with them. So what other issues are there with them?
So what else they can do is... So rightly so. If you don't pay your bill, they don't have to come in and if you don't have a smart meter, they have to physically come to your house, which, you know, may not be the funnest job in the world, and people may be.
See how much electricity.
To read your meter, but I'm saying if one weren't to pay their bill, they have to come to your house to shut it off too.
Okay.
I believe so. That may not be the funnest job, you know. It could be dangerous, but they're not going to have to do that. They can just, with a smart meter, they can just hit a button, you know, or hit a few buttons on a keyboard, and your power will be shut off. And not to say that, you know, you need to pay your bill, like, obviously, yes, but that's not what I'm getting at. You probably see where I'm getting at is in the future, you know, if with everybody getting banned currently right now from, you know, hey, private companies, they can do whatever they want. You know, I can definitely see, hopefully not, but in the future, why there would be justification, you know, to turn off your power, you know, if you're an extremist. I mean, we've already seen that in California, right? I don't know if they did that to anybody, but they were threatening to do that in California for if people were having a party and there was a whole bunch of gatherings, right? Didn't Newsom threaten to cut off your power, if I'm correct?
Maybe. I don't know.
He did. I don't know if that ever actually happened, but I believe he threatened that in a news brief or a press conference. Anyway, so that's the scariest thing about smart meters. It's not that they cause cancer. It's that the government or anybody, you know, that the powers that may be could just make a decision. It's like, hey, look, they're an extremist. And then you don't have any power, you know, even though you paid for it, you know, at market price, too.
Wow.
Anyway, yeah. So that's what I worry about with the smart meters, I guess. Okay. Aside from, like, all the data they aggregate and collect and sell on you that you don't even, I don't know, if you have to, like, sign an agreement to terms of service whenever they install a smart meter, you know, to all the data that's being collected and sold, you know, that's yours. Like, that's not right.
Right. Okay, let's go back to Joe Rogan. So he was in the news very recently because he had said that that young people are healthy and they're not at risk of the coronavirus, so they shouldn't take the vaccine. And then people started coming down on him. Fauci came down on him and whatnot, and apparently he cucked. Right? Have you seen anything about that?
No. Is he going to do like a selfie or a press conference when he does his inoculation?
Well, I don't know. I think he said something like, I'm not a trusted source on information about vaccines. I think that was his way out of it. It's like, I can say whatever I want because I'm not a trusted source. But, you know, you have a lot of trusted sources who have already been deplatformed for this type of thing.
Yeah, that's an interesting excuse, isn't it? I mean,
nobody listens to me anyway, although he does have a big podcast.
How come everybody else can't use that excuse? It seems like there's less popular people that have been deplatformed, you know, for misinformation.
And Fauci again today was calling for clampdown on misinformation.
Yeah, I hate that guy.
Yeah, and you know, they always talk about him as, you know, the country's leading authority on infectious diseases. And for the past 40 years, he's been an administrator. He hasn't been a researcher. He hasn't been a clinician. He's been an administrator, and he's been very good at raising money. He's a fundraiser. That's what he is.
Right. Yeah, and he should be arrested. I really think so. I don't see how he didn't break the law with his, you know, not either wasn't disclosing or wasn't enforced his conflict of interest that he has. He's making money off this vaccine. I just don't get how that wasn't seen by anybody or how that was let go.
So I don't know the details of that, but hasn't Bill Gates made a lot of money? Doesn't he actually have a lot of financial interests?
Yes, with Gavi. And did you see how Dr. Fauci just received $1 million and a prestigious award from Israel?
Oh, God.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, because maybe it wasn't with Fauci, but wasn't Netanyahu on the phone every day with the, maybe that was the head of Pfizer, who's like a Jew from
Greece? Right. He's a Jew. He's a Jew also.
He's a Greek Jew from Thessalonica.
Yeah.
I don't know how that's going to work out for them.
I have a question. What's your opinion? Are they really giving vaccines to all those Israelis, or are they like placebos, or like what's the deal with that? Because that's confusing.
I think they're giving vaccines. Here's the thing, and I don't know very many Israeli Jews. I do know a lot of American Jews, and the American Jews are fully bought into this, right? And you might hear people say, well, given the history of World War II, you would think that the Jews would be a little bit more sensitive. No, heck with that. History of World War II? What history of World War II? We don't know anything about the history of World War II.
Never forget.
Never forget. Never learn in the first place.
Never forgive.
Yeah. So, the Jews tend to be rather paranoid. And I think the Jews, like most Jews, believe in their stuff. They believe in these tales. Whether you're talking about the Holocaust, whether you're talking about anti-Semitism, whether you're talking about the Corona apocalypse, the Corona cost. Oh my God!
Sarbaceous sickness.
No, I think they believe it, and I think the fact that that they believe it. And I think even a lot of top level people believe it. You'd think they should know better. There may be an awful lot of self-delusion in there about, you know, they might think that they're healing the world when they're actually, like, any objective right. person would look at what they're doing and saying, no, you're actually just attacking your ethnic rivals. You are.
Yes, yes, you're exactly right. And that's going back to the Kabbalah. They think that they need to heal the world, like Tikkun Olam, yeah, the world to come. And yeah, that's, you're right. And they want to destroy Amalek, which they view as Europe and Americas. And in one rabbi's words, he said the Americas, and he meant Canada and the United States, you know.
So, I think that they're, to the extent they believe what they're doing is good or right or whatever, they're going to be more effective. And one thing you got to say is they've been very, very effective, which leads me to think that they probably even pretty high up, they believe in their rationalizations for things. I mean, you would think that at a certain point, they'd have to know that they're actually just engaged in ethnic struggle, ethnic combat. But what I say is, you would probably be surprised. I mean, yeah, at some point, some of them have to be aware of it, but I think you would probably be surprised at the level that they believe their own propaganda. And so, yeah, I think the Israelis are being vaccinated big time. And who knows what's going to happen? I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if these vaccinations are going to sterilize everybody or leave everybody dead in 2 years. I don't know. Vaccinations, they might actually be a prophylactic against symptoms of the coronavirus. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, you're right. That it is more of like a religion, whether you're Jewish or not. It does seem like that's why people, you know, freak out. Initially, I think the masks were there, you know, to put peer pressure on, you know, to conform. And I think that was like a precursor to the vaccine, right? It's like, what? You're not vaccinated? You know, people are going to come at people that aren't vaccinated in the same way that, like, if you walked into a store and, like, you know, you get tackled because you're not wearing a face diaper on. I think that was a precursor to that. It's almost like a religion, isn't it? But what you said about the prophylactic, that's interesting, because I was going to bring this up. It's like, if the vaccine, this is almost contradictory, but it's not if you look at it correctly. Like, so if the vaccine is horrible and, like, it's degrades your health and is basically a kill shot, it's like, well, why did they come out and say, oh, we're going to give it to everybody, but we're not going to give it to whites first, right? Because, like, why would there all be all this, you know, white genocide going on and all this anti-white rhetoric, you know, in mainstream media if, like, they didn't want to destroy whitey? So, but if you look at this correctly, they want to give it to blacks and everybody else first. So if this really truly was for depopulation or to make somebody sterile, male or female, that would make sense that they're trying to vaccinate blacks and immigrants first, right? Because they reproduce at a higher rate. So to me, that would make sense. I don't know what you think about that.
I don't know. So here's a question. All right, what was it, 4 years ago or so? Beginning of 2017, I had Andrew Anglin on, and we did a show on...
My favorite show.
And it was about African overpopulation. And he was spitballing some ideas for what to do about... Well, how to save the African elephant. I think he had written an article.
I think Bill Gates may have been listening to that podcast.
I know. So it's like, when will the UN step in to cull the Homo erectus population in order to save the African elephant? And then he was saying, well, you know, you could send in robots to shoot down the Africans.
Oh, but, God!
But the problem is that so far AI has had a hard time distinguishing between Negroes and gorillas, and it feels sorry for the gorillas.
And it still is.
It's Andrew Anglin. This is Andrew Anglin talking, right? And then he did mention, like, the possibility of a virus, you know, a genome-specific virus. that would be a humane way of doing it. And there have been people, you know, there is this whole, you know, Democrats are the real racists and Republicans are the real Democrats, this type of thinking. And I heard somebody, and this was, frankly was on RBN, and somebody was saying, well, you know, Gates has been engaged in all of this depopulation stuff, and now he's got this vaccine and he's giving it to the Africans and he's just trying to genocide the Africans. It's like, and it's not like I want to genocide the Africans, but the thing is, we're not even talking about genocide. What we're talking about here is the African population over the next 80 years is set to triple. So go for, or more than triple, almost quadruple. So going from 1. Whatever billion it is now, 1.2, up to like 4.7. So that would be practically quadrupling. Meanwhile, the rest of the countries are having their populations drop. So basically, if you were to do something to interfere with African reproduction, i.e. overpopulation, that would be pretty base. Is Bill Gates the most base person on Earth?
No.
Is this whole corona apocalypse, is this his secret plan to carry out the Anglin plan?
No. It's interesting, though. If you think about it, though,
It could be.
Yeah, but they realize that. They realize, well, there's Al Gore, I think it was in a TED Talks, Let It Slip, or some. It was a question. Maybe he was just being honest. But he did say, I think, somewhere along the lines of Africa's population will need to be dealt with. Like, I think pretty much straight up that's what he said, close to quotes. But so they know. It's like they know, but they can't really be public about it.
Well, Al Gore, I mean, I could run off to my bookshelf. Hold on. Okay, so with the magic of the pause button, I ran off and got my book, Earth in the Balance, Ecology and the Human Spirit by Senator Al Gore. And so this is from, I believe, 1992 is when it was published. So this was before all of that Inconvenient Truth stuff. And I read the whole book a while back, and I know that there's some really good quotes that would be fun to use, but I don't have them bookmarked. I didn't write in this book, unfortunately. I should have. But at any rate, this is the thing is, he does say that human activity is a key factor in changing the Earth's natural systems. He's not saying climate. He's saying Earth's natural systems. He says this century, meaning the 20th century, has witnessed dramatic changes in two key factors that define the physical reality of our relationship to the Earth: a sudden and startling surge in human population, with the addition of one China's worth of people every 10 years, and a sudden acceleration of the scientific and technological revolution. So he's not just talking about burning fossil fuels, but he was talking about equally, and actually in some areas you can see it's really even more, the population growth. And so, but then if you look at 12 years later when he did Earth in the Balance, or when he did Inconvenient Truth, there wasn't a mention of population. He didn't mention population. But Earth in the Balance was all about population. So he really changed his tune there.
An Inconvenient Truth, right? An Inconvenient Truth about population.
And, of course, where's the population growth coming? And in it's coming almost exclusively from Africa.
Eastern Africa.
Supposedly, we're supposed to give up our country and give it to Africans.
Yeah. We're supposed to let them in here and give them, you know, cars and air conditioners and, you know, everything that would, you know, allegedly, if global warming is a thing, like, you know, contribute to that. You know, something else that's interesting that Al Gore probably never talks about is, like, water. And one reason why, you know, California and Las Vegas and the whole southeast or southwestern United States is running out of water is because we feed the world. You know, basically, like, you know, you see those bags, the UN, you know, bags of food, where all there's all the blacks jumping at it to get it, you know, and they're just like literally throwing the bags out of the truck, you know. And it's like that all comes from the United States, the majority of it. A lot of it's grown in Kansas and Central California. But, well, like, all the water and irrigation it takes to grow this food and everything. And, like, we're – the United States is almost – Biden – go ahead. Sorry.
Al Gore did talk about this in the first book. This was the type of thing you would talk
about. He did? Okay.
Yeah. And I didn't like Al Gore when he first came to prominence because he was so pro-Israel. And then he also voted for the first Gulf War, which was like a really despicable move. But the Earth in the Balance book that he wrote in 1991, 1992, I liked it, and I think it stands up pretty well in general. But let's take the break, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendivite. Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher-certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future. And we are back. And so we didn't play that song last week. We can play it this week. What song, or actually, I guess it was 2 weeks ago by the time this airs.
Yes.
What song is that?
It's called Waddlesworth. And it's a song about a shameless, overweight, obese guy that liked being overweight and wanted sympathy for being overweight. And, you know, I generally don't make fun of people. I really don't, you know, especially when people are trying to improve themselves, because life happens. But, I mean, this guy, I honestly felt deserved it. And, like, it's not like I emailed him or sent him the song as soon as I recorded it. It was nothing personal like that. But I know he's not the only one out there. So me and another friend made wrote and recorded this song about, and you know, the extremely obese, shameless American, because there's got to be one, at least one in your neighborhood. And if not, you're lucky, you're in a good neighborhood.
Yeah, and I mean, I agree with you. Life happens, and in our
society... Yeah, I don't want to judge people. I don't want to send the wrong impression, but certain people like need to be told things, you know what I mean?
And they really try to pump people up, make them fat, but in this the days of the corona apocalypse, wouldn't we be better served by people losing weight and getting healthy? And
yeah, it's not about just being skinny, you know. It's about being healthy.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, Philbert.
Well, thank you for having me on your show again, Dr. Slattery. I appreciate it.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Medical Radio.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.